Hello, everyone. Welcome to a thoughtful hour here at Strong Tower Radio. I am Pastor Garrett Morgan here with my friend David.
David Bolduc from Strong Tower Radio, yes.
Wonderful. And we're continuing on the final hours of the life of Jesus. And of course, we were inspired by the book Desire of Ages that mentions that it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour looking at the life of Christ and let our imagination dwell on that.
You know, what's really interesting about this is whenever you start, like we have started at Palm Sunday when Christ comes down the hill, all the way through the week, you can actually start visualizing yourself in this time period and seeing what Christ, what he was going through, what his disciples were going through, and just kind of be part of that crowd, not the mob, but being part of the crowd. It's like, wow, look what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing the different ways that that crowd, like you mentioned, responded to Jesus throughout this time, right?
Yeah, they were kind of fickle too. Sometimes they were saying, praise the Lord. Sometimes they will find out they weren't.
But that's right. That crowd goes through different shifts and they're easily influenced.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, in times past, we're going through the scriptures, we're going through the four gospels, but we're also using a little bit of a supplement, the book Desire of Ages. And if your listeners want a copy of it, you can actually go on the internet and just do a search for Desire of Ages, or just contact us here at Strong Tower Radio and we'll get you a copy. You can call us at 231-468-2087. Or if you want to just write, it's P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan, 49601. Just Strong Tower Radio, whichever way you want to go.
Wonderful. Well, I believe we're going to be starting today. You know, Jesus goes back and forth between these different officials, right? You've got him before the high priest, before Herod.
How many times was he brought under trial?
I think we mentioned that last time.
Isn't that amazing? How many times?
It's incredible. It's just back and forth
was
and back
like
and forth.
Was it six or seven times?
It was something. I think it was seven, eight, something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, so now we're here at Jesus before Pilate.
Okay.
And Pilate was interesting, you know. Luke 23 talks about Pilate basically being the representation of Caesar to the Jewish nation.
So this would basically be like trial number four.
Yeah, let's call it that.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of the liaison between Rome and the Jews.
Right. Pilate was an interesting person.
He was. And if it would have been up to the Jews, they would have crucified Jesus on the spot.
Right.
But they needed permission for that, which is why they're at Pilate.
And it's just fascinating to see his reaction.
It is. And we're going to talk about this because you see throughout the Gospels that Pilate understood that Jesus was an innocent man.
As soon as he saw him, there's just, as you read through this, there's something about Christ just looking at him, his eyes, the way he carried himself. He wasn't a criminal.
No, I think the Bible calls that like your countenance.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Right? Like
yeah.
like your body language,
right.
all those things.
Yeah.
So Jesus did not have the countenance of a criminal. And Pilate even says this in Luke 23, verse 4.
Okay.
Said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man.
Okay, done. Send him out. We're done.
Yeah, close book.
It's over.
And keeping in mind, I think we mentioned this beforehand, but the chief priests are not in the courtroom because they want to be, you know, ready for Passover.
But yeah, that's a very interesting point we're going to bring out later. They didn't want to defile themselves for the Passover.
Right.
Okay. So they just insulted Pilate. Don't matter. We want you to do what we want you to do, but you've got to, you know, deal with us because you're a Gentile.
Exactly. So they're so worried about keeping the law of Moses kind of in keeping the Passover holy and not defiling themselves with going before the secular court system. And yet they're okay with crucifying the Son of God.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, the end justifies the means.
Yeah, apparently. But anyway, so Pilate is here. And Pilate, according to scripture here, is even warned by his wife, right?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So she has a dream.
Yeah.
And she comes to Pilate and says, have nothing to do with this man.
And he didn't listen.
And he didn't listen.
In their mindset, when the gods speak to you, why, what are you going to do? You would immediately say, this is something spooky. So I'm just going to back away from this situation and he's innocent.
Sure.
He's convicted when he looks at him that he's innocent. His wife gives him a message that he's innocent. Everything the crowd and the priests and the rulers are saying, he's innocent. even though they're lying out of their teeth and the witnesses are conflicting each other. You know, as you read through, especially Luke chapter 23, but all the Gospels, like you mentioned, they all have it.
Yep.
They're all giving the innocence of Christ, but he doesn't. It's not politically to his advantage, so he thinks, to stand for principle.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because all of the Gospels, you know, some Gospels will mention this detail and some will leave that out, but this trial before Pilate is mentioned in all of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an important part of the story. And you mentioned Pilate is a politician.
He is, yeah.
He's been put into that place by position of authority from Rome, and also the Jews would have had a part in electing him.
Right.
And so he's trying to be very careful politically with his career in this situation.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, we mentioned this a little bit off air, but Luke 23, just skipping ahead a little bit here, verse 12, mentions that before this happens, the end of that verse there, that Pilate and Herod were at enmity between themselves.
Yeah.
So Herod and Pilate did not get along.
No.
Which is enmity. Interesting.
That's a nice fancy word for they hated each other.
Hatred. Right. So he's trying to appease Herod because they're not friends. And then you've also got this mob as well that's out there, which we're going to hear from in a minute.
Yeah.
So Pilate is put between a rock and a hard place, kind of, but at the same time, and maybe this is a very simplistic way of looking at it, but grow a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
You know this man is innocent.
Yeah.
But he tries to weasel out of it.
Right.
And one of the ways that he tries to weasel out of it is he comes to the mob, or all of that, before the chief priests, and he says to them, and you begin seeing it here in verse 13 and odd, it mentions that Pilate says, we have a tradition where we'll let one of your criminals go every year, right?
A tradition.
It's a tradition, right? We let one of your guys go.
Okay.
So I've got this Jesus guy. He'd be a great choice. But then I have this other guy in the gospel there in Luke says that he's arrested for murdering and stealing and sedition, Barabbas.
And he wasn't just doing this against the Romans. He was doing this to basically anybody that was to his benefit.
Yeah. All around a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have Christ who is healed. He's been, for the past 3.5 years, you've heard about this gentleman. And then this guy over here who is a criminal.
Right.
Who do you want me to release?
You want me to release. And it's so interesting because this crowd, of course, cries out, you know, crucify Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, crucify him. And it mentioned Desire of Ages here. It's on page 733. It mentions, and I'll just read this here as a quote. It says, quote, again, the surging multitude roared like demons.
Wow.
Demons themselves in human form were in the crowd, and what could be expected but the answer, let him be crucified.
Yeah.
So demons themselves were in this crowd and began to chant, crucify Jesus.
You know, there's a whole mob mentality. Mm-hmm. And like you're describing there, sometimes you wonder what's really stirring the pot. Well, in this one, we have an idea what's going on there.
We certainly do. And this is the same crowd that a few days beforehand, Hosanna to the Son of David.
They're kind of fickle. They're just going with whatever the energy is in the air.
Right. And so at this point, the crowd is not praising the Son of God, but now it's crying for him to be crucified and for them to be given Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when you look at the name Barabbas there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the significance of his name?
Yes,
I was just thinking that.
I'm really passionate about this because Barabbas, you know, remember when Jesus was on the cross, you see it when he's there, he calls his father by a very endearing name, Abba Father.
Abba Father.
And it's very, he means dad, right? Very endearing.
But whenever you say dad, it's just not dad. From what I've read and studied, it's more of like a child calling daddy, like there's something serious going on, and the child is like, daddy, get me out of this situation.
Almost helpless, kind of?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So Abba is that name in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
but then you have this Barabbas character, and that's the root of his name.
Okay.
Barabbas. Which means son of the father.
Mm.
So you have Jesus, the real son of the father, and then you have Barabbas. And it's interesting, if you have the NIV version, you can read this for yourself. But in Matthew 27, it talks about Barabbas' surname.
Okay, what's that?
And it says this in Matthew, it almost seems blasphemous.
Uh-huh.
But Matthew 27:16 says, at that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was, now here it is, Jesus Barabbas. So his name was the same.
Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
Which Nazareth was not a nice place.
No.
And then you have Jesus Barabbas, who is the son of the Father. And it's like, there's a flip in this.
There sure is. You've got, at least in my mind, you have a genuine Christ. You have a truth.
Right.
And you have an antichrist or an
error. Or the counterfeit.
Or the counterfeit. Yeah. Yeah. And that's set up there before the people.
And you can't have a counterfeit unless you have the original.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is the original deal.
Yep. And they're both there.
Yeah.
And Pilate is hoping, okay, the people aren't going to want this Barabbas guy let go.
Right.
So he's trying to strong arm
them. It's like a spectrum. You got the best gentleman, wonderful healer on the right hand, and then on the left hand, you got this scoundrel.
Yeah.
And the obvious choice is the one on the right. Mm-hmm. Nope, they go with the one on the left.
Yeah. And they even choose the one on the left, Barabbas. They even say, let this man's blood be upon our children, right?
And you know I use that term left and right, and I know there's a whole politic, but if you go in the temple, and sometime we need to do a series on the temple, but the side of the right, the right-hand side, when you've got the whole stage right, stage left, the whole thing, the right-hand shoulder of the priest had the Urim and the Thummim, whenever the one on the right-hand side would glow, that was God's favor. And so that's why I use that terminology left and right, because whenever you have Christ standing on Pilate's right hand, it's showing that this is the one in favor. And now, does it specifically say that Christ is standing on Pilate's right or left? That's just an allusion I was trying to make, that Christ was in God's favor. We'd seen it several times. God spoke three times. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him, even on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Christ was standing in the blessing of God. Barabbas was standing out of that blessing.
Yeah.
And the people chose the one out of God's blessing.
Yeah, exactly. So saying the right hand or the left hand, we're not talking politically whatsoever.
No, it's just the whole symbolism, and Christ is the perfect fulfillment of everything in the sanctuary.
Right. So Pilate here tries to get out of the situation, and the mob, influenced by Herod, the high priests, and the demons, choose Barabbas, and Barabbas walks free.
Yeah.
And they say, let his blood be on our hands and our children, and Pilate washes his hands.
He washes his hands, yeah.
Of this choice.
Thinking that's going to take care of it, it's done and over with.
You know, when it comes to our decisions like that, we can't just wash our hands from directly going against what God says is right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really work that way.
Right.
But anyway, and then after that, you see, we kind of read this verse already, but it mentions that Pilate and Herod were made friends.
Yeah.
Because of this decision.
Isn't that crazy?
It's interesting how that works. Before they were enemies, and now they're political allies.
Yeah.
I wonder if that lasted.
Oh, from history, it doesn't look like they lasted.
It surely doesn't.
They were both out of office pretty soon after this.
They were. That's probably another topic for another time.
Yeah, for sure.
We've probably run out of time already, but thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you the next time on A Thoughtful Hour here on Strong Tower Radio.